Welcome to episode 29 of the First X Minutes podcast. It's 10 minutes of football talk. New episodes are available on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. I'm your host, Papi the Great. You'll find me on Twitter at Papi underscore the Great. That's P-A-P-I underscore the Great. So let's get to the meat of today's podcast. Well, today's Tuesday. It's an amazing day to be alive, grateful for life and health. And I'm grateful for eyes to be able to see to finally behold the 2019 FIFA or FIFPro World 11. And, well, I think I need to start from the front. I mentioned in one of my past episodes of this podcast that, well, up front it was going to be a three-man firing squad: Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, and of course any other person that made the 55-man shortlist, including Kun Aguero, Robert Lewandowski. The list goes on and on and on. And, well, so maybe not so surprisingly enough, you just suspect a young kid whose career in the world of football is thriving. I'm talking about Kylian Mbappe. He made it onto the final shortlist. That's the FIFPro World 11. But what's hilarious about this award or this lineup is how, for one reason or the other, Sergio Ramos still made it into the side. Like, it gets crazy that it's enough that Ramos made it into the side. Now, where Ramos was put in this XI just shows it's too revealing to be true. It just makes us understand that they just had to squeeze him in. Whatever committee, whatever it was, they just had to squeeze him in. And You keep asking yourself, okay, to what end? To what end did this have to happen? Was it a must that this guy had to feature in the FIFA or FIFPro World 11? Because it's hard to think that, yes, for the kind of season that Real Madrid had, Sergio Ramos, and of all people, Marcelo, will make it onto the World 11. Well, we've never really had, or we've never really gotten to know the process of picking these teams, because I look at it and, yeah, I look at the squad. Virgil van Dijk, good to go. Matthias De Ligt had an amazing season at club level, even at international level. Frankie de Jong, I mean, every Dutch player in this side deserved their place in it. Frankie de Jong, Matthias de Ligt, Alisson Becker, definitely. But Ramos still making the list and then being shoved aside as a right back. Well, we all know that in his early playing days, he featured there. But why was Sergio Ramos put a right back? Did they even have to even make it to? So what happens to the selections, the right back selections that were probably made, that probably made the short list? Are we saying that Sergio Ramos couldn't make center back and then he could make right back? What's the criteria? What did he do for Spain in the past year? What did he do for Real Madrid in the past year? This is a player who finished the season without a trophy. This is a player who with Real Madrid did not win anything last season. Yeah, maybe it's personal achievements, but what is it? He's not as if he scored 100 goals or something. So you think of the FIFPro World 11 and you're saying to yourself, this thing is just a facade. It's a facade and we have to live with it. It's FIFA's world and they can do whatever they want to do with it. Up front, it's solid. Reigning, the reigning world champion before the award was surprisingly given to Lionel Messi, is also in the squad. He's a Real Madrid player. He's a Croatian player. Luka Modric did not achieve anything last season. I wonder the criteria for this World XI. I'd rather not dwell in it. And what I'd rather say is it's FIFA's world and they can do with the fans. We ask the fans what they feel like doing. Jurgen Klopp being named the manager of the year, It's a bit dicey. The UEFA Champions League, of course, but how do we overlook a certain manager who did the treble? The same treble that Sir Alex Ferguson once said was impossible to achieve in England. He went all the way, blew away all the records. It was an amazing year for Manchester City under Pep Guardiola. Yet it was not enough. It was not enough to make or to make him the 2019 FIFA the best coach or men's manager of the year. And I'm thinking again, from a Liverpool side, it's hard to think that just Alisson Becker and Virgil van Dijk made the shortlist. What happened to Mo Salah? What happened to Sadio Mane? I mean, there's a whole lot of questions hanging over this FIFA Pro World 11. But hey, it's FIFA's world. I'd rather not bother my head about what FIFA is doing. For the next thing I'm going to talk about on this podcast, it's still up about football, but it's the Ballon d'Or. We're gradually entering the season of award where one player is named the best amongst his peers and his mates. And speaking of players being the best, it was recently announced, I think around July, that there will be Ballon d'Or awards for goalkeepers. Of course, it comes to mind, why are we giving special Ballon d'Ors for goalkeepers? Is somebody feeling guilty that goalkeepers don't make it well enough or are not recognized well enough? And like, you know what? Let's segregate the goalkeepers. So when they're making a shortlist for Ballon d'Or winners, we know we're not going to find goalkeepers there. Yet it is being a very tough terrain for goalkeepers to make in the past years. I mean, the last time somebody won this award was in 1960 something, which was Russian Lev Yashin, the only keeper in the history of the game to have won the regular Ballon d'Or. Tongue twister, the award, same award, has been named the Yashin Trophy after the legendary goalkeeper. I'm thinking to myself, is it necessary? Of course, being who we are, we've quickly moved on from is it necessary to talking about contenders to win it. Of course, I'm seeing Alisson Becker somewhere here, had an amazing season. There's Jan Oblak of Atletico Madrid and Marc Andre ter Stegen. There's Edinson Moraes of Manchester City, Manuel Neuer, who I think should not win it. Hugo Lloris, who I think will not win it. But it's football. If Lionel Messi could be named the best player of the year, and he only won the La Liga title, can never say never. Football, we used to think anything can happen on the pitch with football, but it's gradually looking like as if anything regarding football, from on the pitch to off the pitch matters, anything can happen. Just in case you're watching, wondering about the Yassin Trophy, on 21st of October, France Football, we announced its 10-man shortlist for the accolade. Kaylor Navas could also make it. Somebody mentioned Thibaut Courtois, and I think for the life of me, he doesn't deserve to get anywhere near that list. The only reason why he's going to get anywhere near that list is because he's a Real Madrid player. So what you think? Do you think this is some sort of racism, so to speak, as regards segregating the goalkeepers and saying, okay, hey, that's your award, y'all can not bother us when it comes to the Ballon d'Or, the real Ballon d'Or, that's your own Ballon d'Or? Or do you think, yes, these goalkeepers need to be identified with because of the hard work they do? I mean, they face all the hot shots, they have to make all the one-handed saves, the reflex saves, and the other penalty saves. And you know, with the new rules, they have to ensure that at least there's one foot on the touchline when they're trying to save a penalty. So what do you think? Is this a good move? Do you think that this will last? Because football is so random and so random these days, dynamic. In the next 5 years, they could scrap the same award that we're talking about. So what do you think? You can leave me a comment on Twitter at Papi_TheGreat. Thank you so much for spending the last 10 minutes of your time listening to me going on and on and on and on. Send me a comment, send me a tweet, your views, your opinions, what you think about this podcast. It has been episode 29 of the first X Minute. I'll see you in the grand one, 3-0, episode 30. But until then, bye for now.